Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
This is the Super Footy Podcast.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Super Footy Podcast, brought to you by TAB. My name's Lauren Wood. I'm joined by Herald Sun Chief Football Writer Mark Robinson, John Anderson from the Herald Sun, and Brian BT Taylor. Boys, happy grand final week.
Hello, go yeah. Giants.
John's turned up with a pair of, well, let's call them what they are, lilac glasses.
Well, it was the colour of the Brownlow. After all, so he's taken his cues from the red carpet.
It's a little unusual, John, I would have thought. Lilac glasses.
What colour should my glasses be, Brian?
For an older, aged man. I would have said black or grey or silver.
I'm not confronting my age.
Anyway, it's not a big issue.
Maybe he's gone for the purple.
Anyway, welcome to grand final week.
It is. Purple's the theme of the week. As I said, it was the theme of the red carpet. And, of course, Nat Fyfe from the Freo Dockers winning his second Brownlow medal on Monday night. It was it caught a few off guard. I was quite surprised by that. I thought he was a really deserving winner.
Yeah, who said he wasn't a deserving winner?
Oh, I saw a bit of chatter around, you know, as we always go to it, the social media. But even when he was named All-Australian captain, there were sort of people saying,
think
oh,
of
that's
his speech?
I
did you sit
great.
There and think anything?
Yes, I did.
What did you think?
I said there was a lot of eyes in it. But I thought to myself, it's pretty hard sometimes to talk about something.
It's individual award, isn't it?
When it's an individual award. I've had a couple of people in footy at footy clubs say to me they didn't like the speech at all.
Mm. I've had a lot of that too.
Why not?
They felt it was too corporate and it was corporate partners. Teammates.
Isn't that...
They wouldn't mind it if it was teammates.
He mentioned two teammates.
Yeah. Darcy Tucker and
Reece Conker.
And Reece Conker.
Blocking for him, which I found a bit unusual. In itself, but no, just when he was announced that you were in the room, was there a really overly warm embrace?
I wouldn't have said it was an incredible euphoric moment, but that could be because he's from Western Australia and there's not a lot of like-minded people in the room.
We're in the room. Brian was in the room. Lauren was in the room. I was in the room. There was no doubt the crowd wanted Paddy Cripps
to win the medal, or
Dangerfield. More even Cripps, I reckon. But yeah. Danger's won it before. Fife's won it before. When it started, Hamish, who did a really good job, Hamish, was P. Cripps from about round 12. There was electricity in the room, wasn't there, Lauren?
There was. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, come on, Paddy. Come on, Paddy. He's a unique person.
Mm.
I had a player say to me that he speaks like a great leader, but there was a but there. That there was too much about himself, not enough about the team. And I said, geez, that's harsh. And they said, well, you guys don't understand because you're not in a footy club environment. And I said, okay.
What an AFL environment.
An AFL footy club environment. Yep. Where it's all about we.
Yeah, they are strange places.
I don't think it's any different. I don't care what footy club you're involved in. Lauren, we're all involved in different football clubs, and leadership's leadership, and it doesn't matter. You've got to have it under nines, you've got to have it in AFL. Nat Fyfe hasn't proven himself that person yet, but he did say that the other night. He's a work in progress, he's learning. Did he not go to the Carbine Club yesterday?
Yeah, but he didn't go. There's no requirement for Brownlow medal
winners. Other than historical.
Other than historical, and they are requested, and they have the right to say no, so they don't get paid to go. But what they do elect to do is go to, and I won't say that he's done this, but they will go for a paid function before they'll go to a historic function.
That was suggested yesterday, rightly or wrongly, and I haven't followed it through. I'd need to speak to Nathan's manager that there was a fee asked for yesterday. Now, as I said, that's unproven. And even if it's right, if he wanted, say, $10,000, he's got every right to do that, if that's the case. I mean, because he's a commercial product, there is a degree with Nat Fyfe of brand Fyfe, a la David Beckham, a la Chris Judd, that type
Nathan
of...
Nathan Fyfe, Inc.
Which again, you know, that's if he wants to get another
path. But he isn't hidden from that.
Nope.
He's in this game for a short time, 10, 12, 14 years. He's going to maximise his brand and his business.
By choosing the right way and the right item, they can endear themselves and get more work as a result if they want. And I reckon Dusty Martin is on that tipping edge of the similar thing to Fyfe. in that, hey, mate, you can't get paid for everything. There's not money for everything. Sometimes you've got to do something because it's good for you, it's good for your club, and it's good for the game. Sometimes you've got to do that. You can't put your hand out for everything.
Dangerfield's another one who sometimes people think crosses the line. I actually enjoy Dangerfield's attempts at humour in a very serious game.
Yeah.
He's turned up today at Wacky Wednesday for Geelong Robbo, dressed as Kane Corns in a five-and-out. That is very funny. That is very good. Kane's had a fair few cracks at Danger this year. The two well-publicised ones about staging for and overdoing injuries. This is his payback, and it's about as good as it ever got, I reckon.
As you know, I was involved at Northwell Boys in the amateurs, and I was assistant coach to Frank Donnell, and talking about AFL people who do things, and Brian's sitting here. I rang up Brian and said, we're an amateur club. We haven't got a lot of money. Can you help do a sportsman's night? No fee. Brian came along. Sam Newman came along. We had, I reckon, the best cast ever been formed at an amateur club.
We need someone at Old Geelong next year, so I'll get on to Brian now.
Mate, we might have one at Moorabbin as well.
The only thing is I have a quota of freebies.
The point of being, and I don't want to embarrass Brian, the old boys at North Old Boys, they don't forget that. You know, that's our yearly budget, as you know, when we did it. So, yeah, I think that... he's an interesting figure. Back to Nathan Fyfe.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable footballer. Unbelievable. We all know that. But, he's got a different thinking.
I was amazed when he said, Conker and that other guy, I forget his name now.
Tucker.
Yeah, look after my man for me.
I was too.
I was surprised he let that out.
It's giving up a game plan.
It is.
But they do it at Richmond.
Okay, I'll give a quick one.
And they do it at Geelong.
Lost. Quick one for all three of you. You can have either of these players at age 25 in your football club, Nat Fyfe or Luke Hodge.
Oh, I know the bloke sitting to my right in Robbo is a Hodge lover, and I am too. I think he's just...
So Luke Hodge for you, Bart?
Yep.
Hodge.
I'm Hodge. And that's... I mean, we're talking about leadership as well here, aren't we?
Yep.
But no, you're putting in the criteria. If it's about leadership...
It's part of the package.
If it's about pure football, I'd take Fyfe for a pure footballer. But as a total package, Hodge, you've got to take.
What about... Fyfe on the football side of things, Ando. He pulled a lot of threes in losing games, didn't he? Which was...
Well, I think the coaches probably are in a better position to judge the best players than the umpires. In fact, not probably, definitely are. And I look at the coaches' votes with great interest every week. Round six this year, they play, Freo plays Western Bulldogs. Coaches vote 5-4-3-2-1, so you can get a maximum of two coaches voting, so 10 votes is your maximum. Nat Fyfe got one vote. One coach gave him one vote. Three votes from the umpires. Next round, round 10, he got no votes from the coaches, umpires, three votes. So it just stayed the anomalies of the Brownlow medal.
It was 10 times a player got maximum votes from the coaches, which is 5-5.
Yep.
And no votes from the umpires for 10 players.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, so it works both ways.
So say that again, Robbo. 10?
10 times the coaches gave maximum votes to a player.
Yeah.
And that person did not get a vote from the
yeah,
from the umpires.
That's extraordinary.
It's really funny. Your friend, our friend, everyone's friend, Razor A, was on radio this morning and talking about how the umpires select the players. Like, he'll ask, who do you think was the best tall today? Who was the best tall? Who do you think had the best, most important defensive role? Be it De Boer?
Yep.
That he was breaking it all down. It was quite interesting. He said, you know what, the players, the media, the coaches and the umpires, we all have different opinions.
So that being the case with the best defensive role, why don't they ever vote for a defender?
You don't know.
They really, really
do. Do they look at stats? I've always wanted to know that.
No, they don't look at stats. Jeremy McGovern did not get a vote.
Oh, neither did Shane Edwards, which was astounding given his year.
Yes, he had an outstanding year. And thank God Dylan Grimes got three in that
Friday
night game.
It is possible, though, with someone like Edwards to have three or four other players play really well on that same day.
And you
miss out by a bees, and it looks like you're not in the votes at all, but you could have been the fourth person, you know.
Were you a poller, Brian?
No, I didn't poll anything.
Please.
I'm serious. I can't remember that.
He wasn't good enough. Even when Brian kicked, I was at Sydney one day, Brian kicked. Did you kick 10 up there one day?
No, I kicked 12, John.
Sorry, Brian.
Oh.
No, I knew it was a fair few goals. Did you get three votes that day?
I didn't get a vote that day.
You're kidding.
12 goals. I think that's right.
I don't know if it's been eating away. Can you remember who got the 3-2-1?
Someone told me yesterday I didn't get a vote. Now, whether I definitely didn't get the three. Whether I didn't get a vote, I'm not sure.
Your relationship with umpires was somewhat tempestuous over the journey, it's fair to say.
Yeah.
You didn't always endear yourself to them, did you?
No, I didn't.
I have listened. So Buttle couldn't melt his mouth now.
But I trusted them to judge us on our merits.
Mm. Well, but when it becomes personal, and sometimes you were slightly personal in your abuse towards some of them.
This is why I love our producer, Damien Tardio. He's done a magnificent job this year. He's just held up a note. 23 votes. For your career, Brian, at an average of 0.17.
I think
that answers the question of did you poll?
Yeah. How many goals did you kick in your career? Over 300?
In where?
In your career. Do you know how many goals you kicked in your career?
In my career?
Yeah.
Over 500, Andy.
I was going to say, I was just checking.
So
you won the Coleman medal 1 year, didn't you?
Jeez, I'm not. Yeah,
I 1986, he kicked it.
I did call you a full forward of some note.
And Matthew Richardson, Wayne Carey, and many other great players never won a Coleman. I did. They're hard to win.
But
they are.
Still
you
got n- it?
You
Where
never
is
played
it?
In a grand final. I want to ask you that question.
Let's not talk
1982,
about
1982. It's always 1990 we talk about, which is the Collingwood side you were left out of after coming on the last quarter of a drawn game against West Coast Eagles in a final, kicking two goals, which helped get Collingwood into the grand final and win a premiership. 1982, it's a different scenario at Richmond where you got injured late. You kicked about 17 goals in 16 games. You're in pretty fair nick.
No, 73, I think.
Oh, sorry, Brian. 73 in how many games?
About 15.
15 games. So you were flying. Almost 5 goals. And
is this in the reserves?
This is the young
the
Brian Taylor. He could move.
Oh, excuse me, right.
But there was an issue. I'm
in the seniors.
But he doesn't get picked in the grand final. Tell us that story, Brian.
I got injured in the last game of the year. Steve Perry, fullback, did his knee out in the last game against North Melbourne. He's out for the whole final series. I do my knee, posterior cruciate. Not so bad. I'm a chance to play. Richmond win the second semi, go straight into the grand final, right? So we have the week off. In that week off, we play an inter-club practice match against each other. I play on Alan Martello, who was the fullback in that 1982 grand final side. I kick 5 in the half on him to prove my fitness beyond doubt. Even though I'd kicked over 70 goals in the prior 15 games, and was clearly the choice. For some reason, they didn't pick me, and I didn't play.
And they decided to move Jim Jess forward? David
Cloker went and played out of the goal square, I think, and he played on Mario Bortolotto and got a bit of a caning.
And Jess,
and he left after that
Jess
year.
Jess, he played centre half forward.
Yeah.
Because what's his crazy, he went up.
And that day, I had to, they made me, so I wasn't allowed to tell my parents who were coming over from Western Australia.
Were you fit? Could you have played in the game?
Well, I played the half and kicked 5. So
Henry, I don't understand why you weren't picked.
The doctors reckon I wasn't right, but I said
who
I was.
Who was Coach Julie?
I could only prove Francis Burke.
Can you remember a conversation with Francis?
Can't really remember a conversation with him, but I can remember a conversation with my mum and dad who I couldn't tell not to come. They were still coming, couldn't let them know.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Then they decided, we also want you, Francis Burke, we also want you to run out on the ground on grand final day, stripped as if you're playing, because I was named in the side, and do the warm-up and everything, and then you can come back in, you sneak off when you think the time's right, and you can sit up in the stands and watch.
Carlton did exactly the same thing. They ran out on the ground with David Clark and Frank Marcassani as their 21st and 22nd player, and those two had to run off the ground, which is a very hard thing to do.
See, I would have enjoyed it.
You played the week after in a game.
I did. I played up. We played an exhibition game up at the Commonwealth Games in Brisbane.
And?
Up there, and I hurt myself.
Same knee?
Yes.
So maybe they were right.
Oh, well, the week before I didn't.
Mm.
Do you, was that difficult to live with?
That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
At Richmond.
So
when I asked you, was it in the VFL or the reserves or the seniors, that wasn't an insult, because I can remember as a young fella reading about they got so many grateful forwards at Richmond. There's Taylor, there's Disco. How do you fit them all in?
Mark Jackson, Peter Lane. Peter Lane kicked 100 of them.
So there's a lot, and that's when I asked you before. So
yeah, there were 4 there.
That's the most disappointed day of your football.
Yeah, I think that's the one I deserved to play that I didn't. 1990, I hadn't played a lot of games, so probably didn't really deserve it, even though I had a good last game, I think.
Yeah.
But I deserved to play that 82 grand final.
Having said that, in 1990, the way the game was played.
And I reckon I could have changed the result. I reckon I could have changed the result in that game. I'm not being big-headed about that, but I did enjoy playing against Carlton.
Yep.
And I was playing well, and I felt that I could kick goals. I felt that I could have kicked five on that day.
Back in those days, Lauren, grand finals, you could be fair dinkum physical and belt people. It happened, and Richmond lost Mick Malthouse on the Thursday night before the game. They lost a guy called Andy Preston.
It was genuinely tough.
Andy Preston was really tough. He played in the wing in the second final at Waverley. Andy did his hammy. He was out as well, and Brian was out. So there's a fair bit of aggression went out of the Richmond. And Carlton had a real crack at it.
You're pretty bored with this conversation.
No, I'm actually loving it. It's really, really interesting, and it leads us in beautifully before we analyse the game.
When they call it aggression, which is the nice word in today's world, back then it was called brutality.
Brutality.
Aggression. It was brutality.
The only thing I ever did in a game that I'm really shitty on myself for doing was we were playing Carlton at the MCG, big crowd there. We finished the warm-up. We're on the ground. We're ready to start. You walk to the goal square in readiness to shake the hand of your opponent, and then you march on. And I was playing on a guy by the name of Warren McKenzie at Carlton, and he put his hand out to shake it, and I just went bang, straight in the mush. And I did that because I knew that he didn't like that sort of stuff.
No one likes that
and
sort of stuff.
Does anyone?
I just wanted him to know it was going to be an unfriendly day today and we weren't going to be talking. And you know, I played really well.
When he found his teeth, did he stay remain on you? After
Yes, he did, but I think he was shocked.
He wasn't an overly physical. Number 45, I reckon.
Yes, good player. Good
Ruckman.
Thank God we can laugh about that now. God.
It's a shocking thing to do, isn't it? Someone puts your hand out to shake it and you do that. I mean, that's just unsportsmanlike.
Well, there's psychopaths in all fields. I mean,
see, everyone sees this likable Brian going in the rooms, you know, whatever, roaming
kissing
Brian,
kids, and
wowee, and all that sort of stuff.
Don't ever fool yourself, Robert.
No way. In another life, you're looking at a killer.
Oh, it is another life. Just before we get onto the game on the topic of sitting out grand finals, Brian, having been through the experience, albeit in a little bit different circumstances, have you got any advice for someone like Jack Graham, who I think we'd all agree, you know, Richmond, they pulled the right rein there. They got it out of the way early, ruled him out.
They did. I wonder whether in his mind he's still thinking, gee, I wonder if it's going to get better towards the end of the week. We all know that it's probably not, and that's why the doctors have ruled him out. Have I got any advice for him? I can't tell him to get over it and move on as quick as he can because the game hasn't even been played yet. But that would be my advice after the grand final. I always say there'll be other opportunities, but it's an easy thing to say. It's a rare thing to happen. You know, will there be another opportunity for a Richmond player to play in a grand final in his generation? Maybe not. Maybe this could be the last.
But
we don't know.
The same bloke played in a premiership in his fifth game.
Yeah, that's true.
So that probably gives him a little bit of hope, doesn't it?
And that probably helps him sort of deal with it.
Yeah. If they win this flag, they could. The dynasty's spoken about. Mm. Premiership, preliminary final, premiership. They're losing no one next year, and they're picking up Alex Rance. So they'll be thereabouts again next year.
I said to Tony Jewell at the Carbine Club yesterday, I asked him a question, and I said, Tony, if Richmond win this weekend, will they be one of the great, great teams of Richmond's past? And he said, no, they need to win at least another one or two.
Yep. You got to. I mean, the Richmond team, talking about great teams, remember Carlton, the team we're just talking about, BT. I spoke to Mark McClure about this recently. They won 79, lost 81, 80. They won in 1981 and they won in 1982. Okay? I mean, that team is not talked about enough as a great, great team of. It's always Geelong and Brisbane and Hawthorn. This Richmond team has the capacity to be there about for a couple of years.
I agree.
Jack's 30, Rance is 30.
What do you do here, Brian? I was at the VFL on Sunday and watched Marlon Pickett do his thing and win the Norm Goss medal. Do you risk that, or is it looking more and more sort of Jack Ross?
Hang on, you were there, you saw him
what
play.
What about
Ross play?
He didn't play.
No,
he was withdrawn, as was Camden McIntosh.
Sorry, they were both withdrawn.
So they were pulled out before the game.
I would have said McIntosh was going to play.
Poor McIntosh he was pretty downcast, as you can imagine, on Sunday, because not only has he missed a VFL flag, where he's played a fair few games this year on Sunday.
He couldn't be.
He may not get picked for this Saturday either. So
that is
gut-wrenching. You could miss two in a week.
For me, he could go in.
McIntosh.
I reckon he's the one that could go in. What's happened to Stack?
Well, so he hadn't played for weeks. He had the ankle syndesmosis. He came back in the VFL on Sunday.
That was his first game
He
back.
Came into the game after quarter time.
Yep.
And he got a knock at the start of the last quarter, that would be it. Yep. He limped off the ground, came back on to play and sort of played it down after the match. But
now, Camden McIntosh lost his place to Brandon Ellis on the wing.
Mm.
Jack Rome's an inside bull, tackle, pressure. McIntosh is not that. He's an outside player.
But a bull runner.
He's an unbelievable runner. And something that's underestimated? He's a very long kick. So when he's on the run, he can be a 70-metre player.
And the reason
player.
For that is he's no good at kicking
short
medium to long, and that's why he kicks long.
Every time.
So Caper Tom Lynch.
Yes.
So that's why I think Jack Ross is the one in the van for me. If they're talking about role-playing, we need Graham. We need an inside player to come and do that role.
If I'm Lynch and I'm asked, I'm wanting Camden McIntosh.
Would you? I know, and we've been accused of barracking for the story on Marlon Pickett. Is that ever something that you would ever risk playing a debutant in a grand final?
I don't know enough about him, but from the debutant point of view, you've got to look at it as if to say Marlon Pickett playing his first game of football. Can we trust him to impact the game? This is not a home and away thing where we can give him a bit of an easy ride and look after him for a week or two. They have to be sure that he is capable of actually impacting the game.
The answer is no.
And the answer to that is very few people, maybe Peter Dacos and a couple of others,
Peter Hudson,
have had impact, John Coleman, in their first games. It's a rarity.
You've answered the question.
Yeah.
He can't play. There's too much of a risk.
Yep.
That's a risk. It's an unknown more than a risk. So if he goes in and makes three or four errors and they are goal, say they kick two goals from those errors, people say to him they lose, what were you thinking?
What about this, though? They play such a lovely chaos game that could suit him. If they said to him, listen, mate, we just want you to get in the forward line. We don't care which way you run. You can run in circles if you want. And he could just get on to two or three doing that. They play such a chaos game.
Now you're barracking for Lauren's
story. After the game on Sunday, I must admit, I did put a call in to a Richmond official to say, is this real? I know we've all been talking about it, but is this actually a chance to play? And this person responded with, if it was up to me, I would be picking him.
Wow.
He's just, and I just think there's so much more that goes into it. Yes, he can play the game, but this guy's 27. He's got four kids. He spent 2.5 years when he was a teenager in jail.
Oh, I didn't know he was 27.
He was totally unfazed.
Where did he spend 2.5 years?
He was in jail as a teenager over in WA.
Senior footy for a while. So that changes the impact possibilities for me.
I thought you would have. I'm not having a go, but I thought you wouldn't. I knew he was in jail.
Did not know that.
And I knew he had kids, and I knew he was 27. So
even
maybe
he's going. Yeah,
he may good. You might just think, this is just another game of football to me.
Yeah.
He's not playing.
I reckon he could play now, I've heard that.
No, he's not playing.
How do they win?
They'll be predictable. That's
how do they win? Will they be predictable? Will they win with
Lauren,
that chaos game?
I'm no expert on chaos. Footy games and whatever, but watching the Richmond Geelong game last week, Geelong obviously played very well in the first half. They took their foot off. You take your foot off for 15 minutes against Richmond, they hurt like no other team in the competition hurt. So GWS have to maintain that level of concentration for 120 minutes. Can they do it with their banged up bodies? Probably not. Richmond in that time will score just too much because they just keep on swarming, and they swarm through the middle. They don't swarm around the side like Geelong started to do in the third quarter. They hurt so much.
I just want someone to play chaos against chaos. Control Geelong doesn't work because what happens with the control that Geelong tried to show, and it was great restraint, what happens is your forwards are screaming because they're going, hang on, the control is great for the team and to take the pace out of the game and all that, but guess what? We as forwards suffer as a result of the control.
Geelong had it pretty good. I mean, Atkins did a really good job on Vlosten, really good job, but then Hooley is left. So what did GWS do? Pasha Hooley's been close to best on ground in the grand final, premiership. So, and last week he was best on ground. Do they match up? Do they put a Sam Reed to him or someone like that and go negative? Do they put Toby Green down there and say, good luck, Basher, you've got to stay on him? I mean, those matchups.
Maybe they orchestrate them.
Because that forward line, Brian was 100, is 193 centimetres. Himmelberg's 195. Finlayson's 196. Cameron's 196. They can all run. They're the most mobile group of guys of that size ever in any team. Yeah. So it just changes the whole dynamic. Himmelberg didn't do anything last week, but we know he's a good player. Finlayson was important when it mattered, and Jeremy Cameron kicked three.
I spoke to Jack Revolt last night, before the show, after the show, and on the show. And there was a lot of discussion about his form. And we spoke about playing beside Tom Lynch. And he's such a powerhouse figure, Tom Lynch, that Jack is second fiddle because they're looking for...
They see one person.
They see him, and he's hot. What's it like playing... Have you played first fiddle and second fiddle?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a situation like that?
Michael Roach and I did that for years and years and years. So, what it does is confuses both players because you're not quite sure where you fit. Unless Jack can be ultra selfless and push up the ground, which we've seen him do in a lot of
Is. Jack's one of the most selfless players in the competition.
He's become that player.
Yeah. He's become that. There's no doubt about that. And so providing he gets up the ground, it takes away any possible confusion in the player's minds kicking and in the guy coming out, Lynch.
Jeremy Cameron's played two games against Richmond.
He's a great lead-up player.
Two games against Richmond this year. How many possessions has he had in total against Richmond those two games? I can tell you he kicked seven goals in one and three, four in the other. He's had 50 possessions. 50.
50
for a key forward.
And trust me, myself and Ando know about Jeremy Cameron's football.
I think you two have watched him closer than any other player this year and certainly
this game, tickets are hard to get in this game, which shocks me because of GWS, but they are rare commodity. They always are in grand finals, but I can just sense the feeling in this that they are rare, really rare on this occasion. This game, despite GWS's involvement in it, is highly anticipated. Do you know we have five premiers attending this game and one prime minister? That is more than I think the AFL ever had in one.
You know, political person, maybe. You
maybe
know?
I'm not supposed to say that, but that is...
Five premiers, former Victorian premiers, like Kennett and those blokes.
No, current.
Current premiers.
Current premiers.
Well, they're on gravy trains. They get trips there
and
they're paid for
but
by
why would you come if you're not Dan Andrews or
even Gloris,
exactly.
What's
New
her
South
name? Doris
Wales.
Gladys.
Yes,
Gladys Berejiklian.
Sounds good.
She's coming.
Who's your tip for the sprint?
Who's in it?
I don't know.
Jeff Ablett?
Yes. Well, I used to love watching Jeff Ablett.
When we were kids, it was Jeff Ablett's going to win again. And he kept on winning, didn't he?
Yeah, Danger won three in a row. When he was at Adelaide?
Yeah, he did too.
Yeah. Reece Stanley won one?
Is that done pre-game or half-time? Half-time, isn't it?
Half-time, it usually is.
Not overly big on the entertainment. It's not my worry these days.
No.
I reckon one guy who'll give us plenty of entertainment is Shane Mumford. Does he get much left?
Can I just say one other thing on the entertainment before you leave it, Lois? Sorry. Did you hear, Rob, were you at Carbine Club yesterday?
No, I wasn't.
And Gil McLaughlin got up and said about Robbie Williams. He was in Sydney one year. Playing in Sydney concert. The AFL offered him $1 million to come down and do the gig the next day. And he ummed and ahed. He said, nah. But what could... And he didn't have anything on that night. Uh-huh. What could Robbie Williams be doing that he's having a better night than earning $1 million?
Very cool. He's obviously travelling all right, isn't he?
He must be up to some really good stuff.
Which he hadn't previously done. Like, he didn't wake up on a Sunday and life presented him with an opportunity that he's never done before. He's got too much money. What's $1 million?
Sorry, Loz.
$1 million.
What were you
going to
say, John?
He was on a rich vein up in Sydney. You don't know what he was doing up there, Robert.
As I said... He's probably been on that rich vein before.
The point of that conversation was...
Really rich vein.
No matter how much you offer these talented, high-profile people, you still can't get them.
You know what? Two of them, I know this for a fact, have said, when's this game played? Saturday. What's Saturday night? No, afternoon.
That's right. They pulled up.
No,
won't do daytime.
They will not perform daytime. And who does? Seriously. But unless you're the Stones or someone at Glastonbury.
100% right.
Do you ever sing and dance on a Saturday afternoon, John?
I have, Mark.
But mostly it's done under the... covers of darkness.
Yes, exactly right.
And when we all have a good night, it's always... at night, it's never during the day.
Well, speaking of singing and dancing under the cover of darkness, Brian, just before we let you go, you were tasked with roaming after the Brownlow.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any that couldn't go to air? What was
no, it was
who
done.
Who was the best,
it
the
was
worst,
recorded
the
recorded live? So it was live.
How different was that to doing it in the rooms?
It was good, actually, because there was everywhere you went, there was someone you knew. So it was really easy.
Yeah, but hardly a new idea. Brendan Favola did that years ago at the Brayley.
Yes, and I was a little bit worried about that evolving again. So I had to be sort of reasonably on with my selections. But it was good because every time you turned around, there was someone else worth talking to. And I would have liked to have gone for another 10 minutes because I felt that there were so many people there that we could have chatted to, and in a relaxed environment where they really were letting it hang out a bit.
Drunken environment.
It could have been good. And we stayed away from that as much as we could. But also, I mean, I just thought it showed the players relaxing on that night.
What about the grand final on Saturday? We had Chris Hemsworth in the Bulldogs rooms a couple of years ago. Is there anyone that you think, geez, I'd love to see them in, whether it's Richmond or GWS rooms when you go roaming on Saturday afternoon?
Who are their famous supporters?
Well, GWS probably lacking on that front. Mitchell Stark, I think, is their number one.
No, I don't.
I'm a Formula One fan. Ran into Rubens Barrichello in Richmond's rooms last week, which I was shocked by. You know,
Melissa Doyle?
Guy that drove for Ferrari. I think she's their number one ticket holder.
Rubens Barrichello. Melissa Doyle is the number one ticket holder.
I would love for Michael Schumacher to walk in. It's never going to happen, of course, but I would have loved to have at some stage run into him in an environment like that.
In fact, he's been in a coma for 8 years.
That's right. It's not going to happen. But
before we let you go, I want to have a serious conversation with him. Do you think, and I think this could happen, Shane Mumford's a pretty aggressive player. I think the Giants have been playing really aggressive football, and they're going to go after Richmond this week. Not old-fashioned Biff, but they're going to say, right, we've got to get Martin, we've got to shut down Cochin. Do you think it could be very, very aggressive this week? And if so, has the Giants got an edge over Richmond in that regard?
Just does make you wonder. With the Sam Jacobs deal, apparently all but over the line at GWS for next year, what would be going through Mumford's head as a result of that? He'd say, okay, I may be retiring, and he may be happy with that and comfortable with that.
I think he will go on. He's hit a trigger in his clause, in his contract.
I was hoping he
would. So he will play.
And he has played in the Premiership before, albeit going off the ground very early on in 2012 when Mike Pike took over in the ruck. So he wasn't really
I was
part.
Hoping he'd be ultra clumsy, Big Mummy.
I think he will still be ultra clumsy, and I expect him to. And if I was coaching him,
I would be telling him
to be ultra clumsy, like fall on Martin, fall on Cochin.
Does that happen in grand finals still?
No. It's hard football. We
hard
know that.
Now. But
it is hard football.
But did you see the
couch? But I don't know Mumford. I don't know Mumford's psyche that well.
On Fox Footy, the Couch ran a series of centre taps from last week where Mumford decided not to compete in the air because of his lack of athleticism and ability to jump, and rove to what the opposition ruckman did. And he did it brilliantly, at least on five or six occasions, where he actually got hold of the footy and moved it forward for GWS. I mean, I'm not sure that he'll do that this week against the two that he's playing in Soldo and Nankervis, but yeah. I expect him to be ultra-aggressive this week, and especially knowing that Sam Jacobs is going to be there next year.
Righto. It's time. Tip and Norm Smith.
I'll say this. The Norm Smith medalist will be the most informed player currently in the competition that you guys give no recognition to, ever.
I've backed a bloke.
And
I,
that
am,
is,
am I allowed to back someone? I've backed Nick Haynes to win the
And that is
the Norm Smith medal.
And that is a guy that will probably win their best and fairest this year. He was runner-up to Gary Ablett four times at Gold Coast, and that is Dion Prestia. He is the best player at Richmond by a mile at the moment.
Your little meatball friend.
So he will win the Norm Smith and Richmond will win the game.
I wrote this week that De Boer should go to Dion Prestia. They're both inside players. Prestia's a star, absolute star. I think
De Boer will go to Dion Prestia when Dustin Martin goes forward.
Yeah, it's been suggested he also should go to Trent Cochin. It's going to be really interesting, that matchup. I like Bashahuli. I think Bashahuli almost won it 2 years ago. He was very, very good on the weekend again. And he stands out. His run stands out. So I'll say, I barracked him for Jack, but I'd be happy if GWS won. Jack and the Giants.
Giants to win with Nick Haynes to win the Norm Smith.
Richmond
always
to win.
To be different. Richmond for me, Dion Prestia. If you are having a bet, make sure you do it with Tab. Who are you backing this weekend? Boys, it's been fantastic. Enjoy the game.
Pick themselves up, the Tigers, and they get to a second grand final in three seasons. 11 in a row.
Maynard to pump it in long. We've got 6 seconds left. Fist from Taylor. Siren's going to sound, I think. Siren's going to sound as Lloyd handballs. GWS are through to the 2019 Grand Final.
Well, we're joined as we are every single week here on the Super Footy Podcast by Jared Daffy from The Tab. Jared, we've followed it all season and now we've got one to go. How's the market shaping?
Well, it all comes down to this, doesn't it? And I suppose, Lauren, at various stages during the season, we didn't think either of these two sides would get there. Richmond got out to $17. Favourites before round one, but those injuries, we thought they were in trouble. And the Giants, of course, they've had to do it the hard way once the final eight was settled. But they're short price favourites, Richmond. They're $1.38. The Giants at $3.20. But in keeping with what we see on most grand finals, there is plenty of interest in the outsiders to spring an upset. It's happened before. We've got a line there of 18.5 points. And one of the more popular bet types we have on any game is the margin betting. Now, the favourite way here is Richmond 1-39 at $2.05. Richmond 40 plus at $3.30. Giants 1-39 at $3.60. 40 plus at $15. And a draw there at $41. Now, the reason I wanted to mention this one, obviously it can be a draw. So if it's a draw and it goes to extra time, the cup goes to whoever wins then. But for the purposes of that particular market, because it's got a draw in it, it will pay out at the end of normal time. So any of those markets where you see a draw, normal time excludes extra time.
Ah, okay. I've always wondered about that. I've been caught out with a few soccer bets like that. So thanks for clarifying. What about the Norm Smith medal?
Well, Dustin Martin opened $5 as soon as we put this game together on Saturday night. He's drifted out to $6.50, but that quote, there's plenty of money for him. And oddly enough, whilst it doesn't have anything to do with it, the fact that he got so many Brownlow medal votes seems to be one of the reasons why punters want to be on him. He's $6.50. We've got Tom Lynch at $10. Dion Prestia at $10 as well. Now, the next two players outside of Dustin Martin have been clearly the best back. Basher Hooley, 20% of the bets so far have been on him. He's $11. And bad boy, Toby Green. Well, he wasn't there last week. We put him up at $15. He's into $11. So punters clearly think that if the Giants are to win, it will be on the back of Toby Green being there. A couple of players who we don't know whether are going to play or not yet. That'll be decided tonight. Lockie Whitfield at $15. Stephen Coniglio at $17. And a few others that have attracted some sort of support. Lauren, definitely Nick Haynes from the Giants, 41 into 26. And Trent Crotchin, also a $26 pop. But Dustin Martin, the favourite, but plenty of money for Basher Hooley and Toby Green, both at $11.
Yeah, know a couple around these parts who are interested in Basher and Nick Haynes as well. They've had a fantastic season, but as you say, there's one to go. So make sure you enjoy the game.
I certainly will, and I'm not even sure who'll win this year. I don't have a vested interest either way, so I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it.
Best way to do it, Jared. Appreciate it. If you're having a bet, make sure you do it responsibly. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks for joining us on the grand final edition of the Super Footy Podcast, brought to you by Tab. Make sure you grab your souvenir edition of the Herald Sun on Sunday. Will it be the Tigers? Will it be the Giants? We'll have to wait and see. We'll see you at the game.